Hi, I'm Jessica St. Clair.
And I'm June Diane Raphael.
And this is
The Deep Dive.
We're about to do what women have done for centuries. We're crowding around the fire with our generous haunches. We got babies hanging off our tits, and we're going to share with you our fears.
That's right. Our joys.
Our tips on how to stay alive.
Now, Jess, we are heeding a call that no one has made.
Not a soul, but you're invited to listen.
Absolutely, because we make one promise and one promise only. We will not Google a thing.
Because frankly, we're too damn tired.
Please get ready to go on
The Deep Dive.
Hi, Jessica.
June, how are you, friend?
You know... how am I? Menstrual.
Yeah, I saw that update on your Instagram, which actually, in addition to keeping our friends on our Google count, on our Cal, we should also have their cycle on the Cal.
1,000%. Right? 1,000%. And now I have to warn you. So I said, like, this is, I posted a screen grab of my period tracker app in which I said, you know, I was 8 days away at that point. I posted it. And I said, like, I've got one good day left.
Yeah.
So that's it.
Make the most.
But I knew because I kept on checking that tracker because I knew something was wrong. I have my period now. So it came about a week early.
So it's interesting because you thought the week lead it. So was your last week bad? Because I used to not.
It was actually.
Yeah. And then you were thinking maybe that was just life. So at least that's the good news is whatever you were feeling last week was not your fault.
I mean, listen, I have a healthy amount of medication running through my system.
Good for
to,
you.
Yeah. Oh, there's a child.
Good. Welcome.
Can I just come over here, Sam, for 1 second? Come here for 1 second, because you got to see how I'm tortured.
Tell your father that is not funny.
And now he's coming in.
Paul!
Get out, both of you, get out.
Oh my God, first of all,
get out.
I thought it would look cute on a child. It doesn't. That's not funny to like say, isn't this funny? We're going to scare mommy.
It's a horrible way to live.
Do you know what BB did? She put toothpaste on our doorknob and in the middle, as like a prank. And as in the middle of the night, she called me in and I grasped a doorknob and I was like, what is this? Why are they trying to come in on you? This is professional. Why does nobody respect mommy's work?
He's outside in that pink mask. It's terrifying.
Here's the bad news. When you raise children to appreciate a laugh and to try and get a laugh, then Jessica, when you give them a laugh, they're going to try to do it over and over again.
You know, I feel like I've done everything wrong, you know.
Yeah.
Because the behavior is just shocking. It's just shocking. So I'm so sorry. I'm scattered. I'm really arriving right now. You know, I'm arriving too right now, but I'm definitely, you know, suffering through a difficult period. And, you know, day one and day two for me are a disaster just physically. So that's where, you know, that is where I am at.
I don't know why women are encouraged and expected to be normal when hemorrhaging what feels like pints of blood. I haven't had my period in years, but I remember it was pints. I felt like and how are you? And we don't give any allowance for that.
No.
None.
No. And that's why you're absolutely right. I really would like to know everybody's cycle, be introduced with where I am on my cycle. And
yeah, like, hi, I'm June. You know, here are my pronouns.
On day two.
And then on day two. You know, like all of these things are what you need to know.
Treat me accordingly.
Well, you
treat me accordingly.
You have to treat yourself accordingly. What are you going to do today to rest?
Well, it's such a good question because so the other thing that's happened that's very alive for me right now is Meatball has torn what is essentially his like ACL.
Oh God.
So I have my car outside of our home is parked on the sidewalk. Okay. That's not an exaggeration. Two wheels are on the sidewalk.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I came home in such a state last night with this dog. And long story short, last week I was sitting here and I heard him on the steps, like something happened.
Oh.
And I walked over and his back legs were kind of splayed out.
Nope.
So, and then he was limping and I thought it was resolving. You know, Paul and I have gone back and forth about our part in this because I think we both, I honestly knew something was amiss, you know, but.
Well, but we hope it resolves. A lot of things
of course,
do. Most of the course. Time when you bring your kid or your pet to the doctor, it's already resolved itself and you've wasted all of everyone's time.
I think where I'm kicking myself, Jess, is like, I did know and I was sort of being talked into and feeling and being like, and also I was like, well, he's not sensitive to the touch, but I knew something was wrong and I knew he wasn't putting his weight on it enough, even if he was still going for walks and stuff. I just knew. And well, so then I was told yesterday when I brought him to the vet that he's essentially been in level 10 pain.
Well, they hide their pain. Cody and is telling us, and that's true. They're very stoic. They're not supposed to show pain because in the wild, that would mean you'd get eaten.
I know.
And I didn't realize that, but all I can say is my experience as a mother is you have an instinct about caregiving that is so sharp and is genetic. It is ancestral. And when we go against it, just like when you go against, oh, that guy looks weird and you get in an elevator with them. When we go against it, we never win. And I just think we just have to tap in. And I don't know how we do that because the world is set up to kind of make you second guess.
And it, you know what? That for me ends today because I did, listen, I knew when one of my children had COVID, I like spidey sensed it.
You knew.
He had barely any symptoms at all. So and I think I've struggled with that idea of maternal instinct because especially when kids were like baby newborns, I did not feel like I had maternal instincts. And I was like, I think that's
still did,
fed to women. Yeah. I know, but I sometimes think we tell women, oh my God, it's going to feel so natural. And then when it doesn't, anything, I'm like, well, I guess I shouldn't be doing this. And it was so hard because I didn't feel it. Like I felt this sort of maternal ambivalence.
Right.
You know, and I was like, when do I feel confident in this? And so I am angry with myself about Meatball, especially because, I mean, my kids are old enough where they can verbalize and the connection's so different, but it's like a return to having a newborn where I'm like, I took him to the vet and he has level 10 pain. And she was like, he's like got two choices to either like be on pain meds the rest of his life, never do a set of steps again, never get on a piece of furniture, like 5 to 10 minute walks, or get surgery.
Yeah, so he has to get surgery. Yeah.
So I have two, you know, surgeons I'm reaching out to today. I truly like, I don't know how to say this in another way. I had to tell Meatball last night and look him in the eyes and say, like, I will not be doing this with you. I will not have you fall apart. So whatever that means for us, just know I cannot withstand you breaking down.
No.
For my eyes. I actually can't.
No. You can't. Meatball is your spirit animal. Meatball is getting us all through the pandemic.
And I was
and we're too close to the finish line.
Not here.
Nope.
I won't have it.
I won't have it.
I won't have it.
A deep diver just sent me an article that I will post about what it is like to be a parent, an HSP parent, and it extends to pets. When our children are in pain or our pets are in pain, we feel it as if it is happening to us. Now, I thought everybody was feeling that way. Now, BB's making a transition to a new school. I've been waking up at 4 a.m. wide awake.
Yeah.
Because I might as well be in that school with her that black top.
Yep.
Just experiencing it. And I need distance.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. And I don't have it.
I know.
And I know. Don't obviously have it about the dog because I brought that dog to chemo.
I know. I know.
Well, but taking care of our animals and helping them get better, like Paul and I did have a conversation last night because I don't
have a number on the surgery.
I don't care. I'll do it. Listen, I'll get take it out Jessica, of my own pocket. Let me go to the ATM.
Jessica, he's
I'll
getting
do a crowdfund.
But I did have to
surgery.
Just say, like, now, are we talking a couple $1,000s?
Oh, who knows?
Are we talking like $100,000?
Honey, we
like,
don't know.
I just
is
don't
it an Alfa Romeo?
Know.
Like, what is it? Is it? Are we talking about driving right, this thing off the lot? Like,
yes. Is it the cost of college tuition?
Like, yeah.
I'm just trying to understand.
The sharpen the your numbers. Pencil. Again, you can't like, ask a surgeon to sharpen their pencils as
oh,
you have
again,
many
I
contractors.
I will pay.
You can't.
I will pay. But I did have to ask the question, you know, what, and these vets, like
oh God.
The way that they have to have those conversations is just so brutal. And I do really, because I, they have to say, you know, this is the best case scenario. We could do this. But of course, like that might be financially.
And then they're like, and then you're sitting there going, how much do you love this dog? This dog that has given you nothing.
And they're trying not to phrase it that way.
Unconditional love. No, and it's not. Listen, I've read so many articles, too, about, like, when is the right time to put down a dog? Like, when is it too much? And every article says the same thing. It's individual.
Yeah.
For every person.
Fuck yourselves. Yeah.
And it's like, okay. But, like, Noel. And by the way, pet insurance, I never had it. You know, when you get a rescue dog, it's very hard to get pet insurance. They usually have a bunch of other issues. I didn't
and
have
I
it.
And I don't think pet insurance covers all I'm that sure much they, at the end of the day.
Does
I mean,
insurance
I don't know.
Cover anything
I mean,
anymore?
I don't know. No, not really. So, Jess, I was hit with this yesterday and it definitely
so
took me out.
Yeah.
You know, it took me out pretty good. So, and again, if you look outside, my car is on my front lawn. The way yeah. I drove home and I was like told he cannot do a step. He cannot. So I was like, I can't have him even get from the car seat to the step. So I'll have to drive onto the front lawn.
and he is, how many pounds is he? How many
well,
LBs
that was another,
is he?
So it's so funny because I'm really having an interesting experience with his weight because every time we go to the vet, I'm schooled on how much
really?
He has to lose. Oh, every time. And she said to me yesterday, she's like, and obviously,
is
you know,
putting
the weight
pressure
is,
on the joints?
Yes, the, yeah. the weight and you guys have to get weight off of him. And I am what truly are? Like, well, now I'm being told you can only walk 5 minutes a day. How would you like this weight to come off?
Are we getting a pool just so we can work out in the aqua aerobics?
Like, I mean, this truly is truly tell me how this weight will come off. That we barely feed him. I feel like he's hungry all the time. And I'm like, I am having such an interesting reaction to being told that this dog needs to lose weight. Like so much of my yeah. own issues with food are coming up.
I'm not going to starve my dog. I'm not going to
no.
deprive my old dog of the happiness of eating a milk bone.
And I'm like, I can't get weight off myself.
I
so I don't know how you expect me to get it off this animal, you know? And to be told basically like he's done this to himself or
don't
you all have done
shame
this,
a dog.
I'm
don't
just
fat
like,
shame a bulldog,
please.
It's ridiculous.
You know? And the work it would take for a maybe 2 lbs to come off.
Let us live. Let us live.
Let us
and
live
that
and let Meatball
bulldogs.
Live.
Let Meatball live.
And let Meatball live, please, please. And I'm also like, I would rather go into debt to get this surgery than try to get weight off of him.
I agree. Yes. I don't want you. No, we are. Listen, you could. Every time Emma comes up to me and she has dementia, so it's every 5 seconds because she doesn't remember she's come up to me already. Also, the part of her brain that says she's not hungry anymore has shut off.
Mine too.
And Dan's like, you give her a treat every single time she comes up. You're giving her 8,000 treats a day. Yes. And I say yes to that.
You know what? And I'm sure we're going to have some deep divers talk to us about diet and dogs and all this stuff. And I hear it, everybody. I got the message in a 45-minute phone call yesterday. So I actually don't need to hear it again. But that's where I'm at, Jess.
And well, I listen, We have the most fabulous guest coming on, but she may have some, you know, thoughts about dog and diet, dog diet nutrition. Okay. I don't know. We'll throw it at her. You know, at the very least, she can Google it for us and sift through the data. And now, June, we have a very special guest who is dear to my heart, Paige Woodward, who was my nurse practitioner when I was going through chemo at Cedars-Sinai. And she has now started her own functional cancer care business where she coaches people one-on-one about how to get through all the side effects of chemo and cancer care and supporting you into your survivorship. This will be a really informational interview for people who are going through cancer care and want practical tips. Trigger warning in case you aren't in a place emotionally where this will be a healing experience. You can skip it. And if you want to go to her website, it's functionalcancercare.com. Deep divers, I know I say every episode is special of the deep dive, but this one is really something. We have with us today my nurse practitioner, Paige Woodward, who I met on my very first day of chemo. It was pre-chemo. I was doing my tour of chemo and figuring out what to do. And how to take care of myself. And she was the nurse practitioner to my oncologist, Dr. Philomena McAndrew, who I can just say confidently is, you know, basically the number one breast cancer oncologist in the world. Oprah had her on. So she chose Paige out of all the people that she could work with to work as her nurse practitioner. And I want Paige to tell me what she actually is and does, because I don't want to mess it up. And then I'm going to tell you more about what it was like to meet her for the first time. Paige, welcome.
Thank you, Jess, for having me. So I'm a board-certified adult nurse practitioner. I have a specialty in oncology, and I've been working in oncology for 16 years. I'm aging myself, but that's okay. So I've worked in all different aspects of oncology, but I spent 7 years at Tower Hematology Oncology, where I met Jess, and we have this lovely relationship to this day. So now my focus is working more on the integrative side of oncology, and I started a practice called Functional Cancer Care, and I'm trying to help patients get through chemotherapy and into survivorship, but using more of an integrative approach. So supplements, nutrition, sleep, habits, exercise. So that's what I'm doing now.
And that was what you were doing for Dr. McAndrew. Basically, what I'm going to take you back to the first time we met. I literally remember this as if it was 5 seconds ago, because it was so life-changing to me when we met. So when you get chemo, they do like a chemo orientation before you go. And I'm going to say it's one of the scariest days of your life, okay? Mm-hmm. Because you're going to see where you're going to get your chemo. And I would say chemo is one of the scariest parts, if not the scariest, of getting cancer, because we have lots of ideas in our head, most of which are from terms of endearment, beaches. There's like so many awful movies where people go through chemo and it's horrible. And we have seen all of that in the 80s when we were left alone watching television for 12 hours a day. That is not at all the case, but that's what you come in with. Okay. So, and then they show you, so a nurse kind of brings you around and they show you the chair and where you'll be sitting. And you see lots of these people sitting and getting their chemo. And some of them look quite sick, but the majority of them actually look like they're just on their lunch break. You know, they're hooked up, they're reading, flipping through A Better Homes and Gardens, you know. But I did see a couple girls who were in their cold caps to freeze their head, and they were young. I saw lots of women in their 30s getting treated for breast cancer. And I met one that day who ended up really helping me, Linda, through my treatment, because she was almost done with hers. But then you go into the office of Paige, and I didn't know what a nurse practitioner was. I had never met one. I never had an occasion to meet one. But this tall drink of water breezes in a little stylish shift, like a J. Crew shift, and like a little cute pair of flats, and is a ray of sunshine. And she says, "Hi, I'm Paige. Like, I'm gonna help you through this. And we have something for everything. We have drugs to treat all of the side effects of chemo. So don't worry about that." And I do believe you said something like, and I might be misquoting because I misquote everybody, "If you're feeling something, then I haven't given you enough drugs or supplements." So I want you to tell me immediately before the pain gets bad, before you feel sick, I want you to tell me, "Paige, I need more and I will find it for you." She gave me a prescription for marijuana, which at that point was not legal. She said, "This will be your first stop. Right after you leave this office, I want you going to a dispensary. And this is what you're going to ask them for." She gave me the name and number of an acupuncturist, Dr. Lucy Posteloff. You're going to be seeing her twice a week. She had me so set up that I felt like this was not going to be horrible. How is that possible? Okay. So that's when I began my journey of trying every single hack in the world that she shared with me. Every single one of them worked. And I mean, I don't want to brag, but like, I nailed chemo. I nailed it. I felt sick because it's no joke, but I felt just as the best you could be through chemo. And I owe that all to Paige. Okay? Friend?
That's...
Thank you, Jess. You had to do a lot of the work yourself.
Well, I had to get the chemo, but also we had some laughs.
We had a lot of laughs. A lot.
I asked, okay, Paige. Okay, so Paige, just take me through to like what I was up to. You could just paint a picture for the deep divers. And then I want to like get into the actual nitty gritty of the hacks.
So the first time I met you, you know, we talked all about chemo and all about the drugs and all about the possible side effects and all the things we were going to do, like you just described. And I remember you were with your husband, Dan, who I love as well. And you two just kind of looked at me like, okay, we're doing this.
Yeah.
And then, you know, a week or two later, we got chemo going and you were covered from head to toe in ice. I would go over, you had your cold cap on, you had the mitts and the booties. Yes. You even put ice on your eyebrows and your eyelashes because you were like, hell no, I'm not losing them. And I think you took a few drugs to get through the initial cold cap.
A few? I was like, hit me, friend. And so I was like, but I wasn't the type to fall asleep. It made me more verbal. Yes?
Oh, very true. And we had a lot of conversations that you might not remember, but hey.
In fact, I believe you were going on a first date with a gentleman you had never met before who you are now engaged to.
Wow.
Oh, God.
I remember vaguely you going like, you know, I just went on a date with this guy and I was on drugs, so many drugs. And he wants to go to Tahoe. That's insane, right? And I was like, you gotta go, Paige. You gotta get out there and use that body, Paige. It ain't gonna get any better than this, Paige. And you were like, okay, cut to, you are now engaged to this gentleman. Is that correct?
That is correct. Newly engaged.
Thank you.
Yes,
thank you.
And we did go to Tahoe and we went skiing. You have a very good memory. Because we talked about probably everything but the cancer while you were getting all these drugs. Yes. And you were hilarious. And I loved when Lennon would sit next to you and feed you Cheez-Its and read to you from like People magazine or God knows what trashy magazine. And then we have to give a shout out to Baby Blues, i.e. Stephanie Knott.
Oh my God. We had this nurse, okay, the first time I go through chemo, she's so beautiful, blonde, like these piercing, like husky blue eyes, right? And Lindsay Sloan, aka Bird Bones from Playing House, was with me. And she goes, well, now I like the cut of this one's jib. She walks up to Stephanie and goes, we'd like to request you as our personal nurse. Now, you know, now my group of friends are fierce. And she was like, I guess you can. And so we had her every single time. And she became such a dear friend. And the power duo between you two, because she was really my drug hookup.
Correct.
Okay. So Paige, take me through. Let's say I'm a new breast cancer patient, okay? And I'm coming to you and I'm terrified. What are you suggesting that I do?
Well, we need to talk about, like, what did the oncologist tell you?
Right.
I like to know all about the diagnosis and the staging. I like to know what drugs are recommended. And then we talk about all the side effects. And then we kind of go from there about how we can manage all those side effects, you know, even with prescription medications or supplements, or, you know, as you mentioned, all the different hacks we can give you to get you through the treatment as best as possible. So,
right. And I had, so what did I have? I had stage 2B breast cancer, estrogen positive. And what drugs did I have?
You had Dostense AC, i.e. people call it the red devil. Do you remember the push of the?
Yes, I do.
The red one.
Yeah, I remember the red one.
And then you
That's
had
the
followed
one.
By Taxol. Yes,
okay.
It is. That regimen is extremely difficult and that you did it with flying colors. So.
Well, I did feel like garbage. And actually, that is during AC was when I came to you, June, and said, I feel like I'm going to, maybe what if I die? And you said, you're not, but I'm going to send you all these healers. And so June was really my nurse practitioner from the other side.
I love it.
Yeah. Yes. I don't think I've gone, I don't necessarily have the credentials or certificates that you might have, Paige.
It's all
but
good.
I have, listen, my experience is my expertise. Paige, I'm so curious how you, like, I'm sure there's so much training and so much schooling that you go through to become a nurse practitioner. And, but just the idea that you are like greeting people at the beginning of this journey to me must require so many soft skills in terms of like holding people through that. And I'm just curious, is that something you learn or is that
innate,
you know, sort of innate or apprenticed? Like, how do you, it's an intense moment you're meeting people in. How do you approach it?
The most intense. Yeah.
I'd say it's not a learned behavior. It's something
it's
that just comes from the heart. And I think, you know, majority of the people I've worked with over the 16 years, most of them have a very soft, you know, spot for cancer patients. And I feel like if you're going to be in the field of oncology, you need to have that. Mm-hmm. It's so intense and it's super intense on our side. You know, you're holding people's hands through all kinds of things. And, you know, I've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. And I have days where I cry with patients. You can't hold that back. It's hard. It's really, really hard. But I love what I do and I can't really imagine doing anything else. Side note, I did want to be a vet, but
really?
I did. Yeah. I did. I studied animal behavior in college and worked at the Mystic Aquarium in Connecticut.
Know it well. Know it well.
And you know, here I am.
Well, it makes sense because to be a vet, we were just talking about June's
might
dog.
Have some
but
questions for you.
Yeah, yeah. Might have some questions about hip dysplasia in bulldogs, but you have to be so attuned to tiny cues of emotion and pain from dogs. And I think that that's what the one thing that I felt was so special about you is like you could just tell if it was an off day for me, you know, and then you would adjust accordingly your energy. And on the first day when I met you, though, you came in all optimism and blue skies. And that is exactly what you need. You need to feel like somebody is in control, okay, and knows what to do and is going to take care of you. And we're going to get through this. And it's going to be unpleasant, but then it'll be over. And you're not going to have any lasting side effects. And that's what I want to also, I want to talk about what you gave me just prescription wise, just so people have it in their minds, they can ask for it if it's appropriate for them. But so like nausea is a big one, is a big side effect, right?
Yes, especially with the AC that you got. That's a pretty horrific nausea causing. Yes.
I never threw up. You do feel like you have the flu basically for the time. So each session you get, it lasts a little bit longer. So the first session you get, okay, you're sick for me. You feel kind of sick for like 3 days and then it gets to five and then seven and you have 2 weeks in between your treatments. And then by the end, the fourth one, you're really feeling sick all the way up to the next treatment. And I think the hardest part for me was the anticipation of the next treatment because very rarely are you like, I'm going to get sick. I'm going to go take something to then feel like shit.
Sick.
Right. So what did you...
Here I go actively walking toward certain sickness.
Bananas.
Yeah.
Because you've never done it before. You truly haven't. Tell me, what did you suggest for me for nausea?
You were sent home likely with Zofran or ondansetron, 8-milligram tablet, and then Compazine or Proclopyrazine, 10 milligrams. We probably gave you some Ativan. So people know Ativan is an anti-anxiety drug, but it's really great for nausea in the chemotherapy setting. So I'm sure we gave you some of that.
You gave me vitamin A. You guys call it vitamin A, which makes me laugh so Ativan. Hard. Vitamin A. Give her a little bit of vitamin A. But that was actually the first prescription you gave me. And you said, you can start taking this at night now to sleep, because you can't, once you get a cancer diagnosis, most people cannot sleep at night because your body is in full fight or flight. So that was huge because I slept through the night. I really did. And you were like, sleep, most important thing you can do is sleep and exercise and eat well. And how can you do that if you're terrified? So, okay. So you gave me Ativan to sleep. These were prescription drugs. And and then there was the pot, which was great for nausea, right?
Yes.
That one was a huge one for me. I was leaning heavy on that from like 5 p.m. on.
Did you do the edibles or what variety did you pick?
I went to a place in Malibu. There are dispensaries that like specialize in treating people with cancer or helping. Oh. Yeah. And this one had been started by a guy whose mother had gone through cancer. And so the women were so knowledgeable there about the exact strain. So I did an indica and I had never smoked before. How lame is that? Never smoked.
Jess,
never did
really?
Drugs. No. Wow. Never did drugs in college. I regret it. Once I really dipped into the world of drugs during chemo, I've never looked back. But I regret those days. I regret all of the days.
Yeah, all of those sober days, you know, where you were just taking in life.
Nice. Regret it.
Yeah, at face value.
I regret it. I regret every part about it. But yeah, so I did like, I vaped, which, you know, again, I don't know what the research is about vaping, honestly. So now I'm more into edibles. But I have to tell you, that was a huge... I wouldn't really have thought about it, honestly, Paige, unless you hadn't encouraged me, if not ordered me, to go across the street and start to get that into my routine. So that was a huge one. What else? Is there anything else for nausea that I'm missing?
Those are usually the main drugs. Yeah. I mean, there's other things like Zyprexa. The other name of the drug is olanzapine we use. We probably didn't use it back then. That's kind of like a newer thing these days.
Yeah.
But yeah, the CBD and the THC and the marijuana, I mean, those were the days we had to write you that like gold-plated prescription. And then they'd call and verify that we gave it to you. God, it was like...
It was crazy. It's crazy to think about, but it's still that way in so many states.
Right.
So, yes.
We're lucky here in California.
We are.
Walk right into that dispensary. I tell people, go all the time. I'm like, go get it. It's going to be great.
Get it.
Yes, go get it.
And then Paige, the acupuncture. Tell me about why you suggested that, because that was also huge in my healing and getting through chemo.
So I love sending people to acupuncture. I also go myself. It can be great for so many things. I think I sent you to help with like potential neuropathy. One of the drugs you got, it can cause damage to the nerve endings in your fingers and your toes and your feet. So it can help with that. It can help with nausea, just to relax you, decrease the anxiety. And Lucy is phenomenal. And she's been working with cancer patients forever.
Yeah, she's certified to go into Cedars and treat and actually treat patients in a hospital setting. So that's if you can find that, that's the other thing. So not all acupuncturists are the same. There are acupuncturists that specialize in cancer care. And I would absolutely recommend you search and search and search till you find that. Because she, not only could she help me with all my symptoms, and it really did help. And sometimes she would let me sleep on her hot, she had this warm table. And she looks, she looks like a beautiful Russian spy. But she would tuck me in. You know, she's a mother. She would tuck me in. And, you know, put the needles, and then she would leave me. And if I fell asleep and she didn't have anybody coming in, I mean, I would sleep there for 3 hours sometimes.
Wow.
Because I was a mother. Wonderful. So I had a child, a two-year-old at home.
That's so crazy.
BB.
BB. Everyone got to know who Bebe was. And so anyway, so acupuncturist, that's what you would suggest, right, Paige? You find somebody who works with cancer patients.
Absolutely. It's, and generally insurance will cover it. I know people get really concerned about the cost of everything when they're going through cancer treatment. I mean, don't ever look at a bill that you get from the hospital after you've had chemo, because it's hideous. It's like $30,000 for a drug.
That's right.
And then they mark up Benadryl to cost like, I don't know, $50 when, you know, you can go buy a tab of Benadryl in the store for, you know, a dollar.
Right.
So there's that. But, you know, insurance definitely will cover acupuncture. You may only get a, you know, a handful of visits, but it's worth it. So definitely look into it.
Let's talk for a second about exercise, because you are a big exerciser. I mean, again, her legs like go all night. They really do. They really do. I mean, I was surrounded by some of the best looking nurses in the biz.
It just seems like that can't
hurt. It's just nice to have, you know, nurses
to feast your eyes on.
Something to feast your eyes. And we did. We were very, very inappropriate with our nurses, as you can imagine. They were all so cute. But exercise. Talk to me about exercise.
So important. I always get from patients, oh, but I'm so tired and I'm so nauseous. Get up, walk around the block, walk through your house, walk down your driveway. I'm not asking you to run a marathon. It, you know, they've done so many studies that exercise combats fatigue, the anxiety associated with your illness, and it's so, so important. My thesis in grad school was on exercise intervention in breast cancer survivors.
Wow.
And guess what? It showed that anxiety and depression significantly decreased with exercise. It was statistically significant. I mean, this was a million years ago. We're not going to talk about the year, but yeah, here we are. And it's still super important.
And so what also, Paige, does it, well, so you told me, and listen, I was an A+ student. So you were like, you got to get out and walk. And I was like, well, Paige said 15 minutes or 20 minutes a day. So I'm going to walk for 3 hours a day.
Whoa, Jess.
That was a little much. I did at one point have to poop behind a recycling bin.
I remember that.
Because Paige, I got so far away from home. Now, Paige and I both live in Santa Monica, and she knows if you get walking, you can get to a place in a very rich neighborhood where there are no public restrooms. I had to poop behind a recycling bin, and then I covered it up with a couple of loose bricks.
I love you, Jess. Tell them it like it is.
Well, listen, walking also, you know, you're constipated, like it really it can get things moving. So that does, I mean, listen, the moment, when the moment strikes, sometimes there's nothing else to do but find
now,
a recycling
bin. Now, do you think,
bin.
June, you know me pretty well. Do you think I continued my walk after that or went home?
Continued.
That's right.
Yeah.
I was already close to the stairs.
Yeah, no.
Is that insane?
Yeah, no. I mean, listen, why go home in shame? Like, what's done is done, you know?
And I covered it up. I didn't want people to go out with their recycling and be like, oh, my God, you know? Like, oh, my,
but at
there,
some
oh
point,
my Lord.
Like, is someone going to find it? Or maybe it just decomposes into, like, a tiny little twig. I don't know.
The three bricks I put on it was such a strange detail. And I actually thought to myself, I'm going to carry this to my grave. Like, I'm never going to tell anybody this. I'm never going to tell anybody. And then one of my friends, Molly, do you remember Molly and Kristen who flew in, Paige? They were both blonde and cute. And then everyone thought at one point they were married to Dan. It was so strange. But Molly flew in and we got high one night and the lights went out. We had like a power outage and we got high. And I'm like, I got to tell you what happened to me the other day. And then once I told her, the floodgates were open. So yeah, I shit behind a recycling bin. But my walks were everything to me. I listened to Brene Brown.
And just quickly, Jess, I'm imagining those bricks sort of like almost like a teepee.
Teepee! Yeah. That's right.
Okay, great. So it's like you created a little, like a little
a
dwelling.
Yeah, a little house dwelling. For it. Now, what would be a real bummer is if the people using those bricks for construction were like, oh, we needed those three bricks.
Oh, my God. To
complete.
You know, like, oh, God, I didn't know that was coming. Like, I really hope that wasn't to complete a structure. But
yeah, I hope none of those were like the cornerstone.
Holding up a fireplace, yeah. A massive fireplace. But those walks were my lifeline. Truly, I listened to, now not everybody has the luxury of like, I didn't have to work during that time. I mean, I couldn't work. Unfortunately, I was not feeling well enough, and I did have childcare. So I was able to just leave because I didn't want BB to see me sick. So I would pretend I was going to work, but really my work was walking around Santa Monica and shitting behind recycling bins. But I would listen to Brené Brown, Rising Strong, all of her books, you know, something like Amy Poehler's book was just her voice in my head. All of Oprah's Super Soul Sunday. Like I just started, and I haven't stopped. Yeah. I devoured every single book about courage and strength. And I listened to them because I felt like I was less alone. And sometimes I would call a friend and cry, you know, and get it out. After my husband got cancer the same year, after his treatment, I somehow weaseled my way into the head of oncology at every single hospital in Los Angeles and asked them what Dan could do to keep himself alive post-treatment. And they said exercise could cut his rate of recurrence. Mm. Does it move your blood through? Like, what does it do physically? I know what it does mentally, but physically, what does it do for your body when it comes to cancer?
So, actually, June brought up a good point. You know, when you said you went, you know, you had to shit behind the recycling bin.
I'm sorry. I made you say that phrase, Paige. It's really beneath you.
Oh, I'm dying laughing. It helps move, you know, everything through the digestive tract. So that's probably why you had to go while you were out on your walk, because it got everything moving along, you know, because constipation is a huge issue with chemo drugs. Sometimes diarrhea is too, but, you know, typically constipation happens more. And so, you know, it helps with that. It keeps you healthy. You know, you're helping to decrease inflammation in your body.
Okay. So post cancer treatment, you want your, when you work out, it activates what, your immune system, or it helps everything.
Keeps you healthy, you know, healthy weight, all that good stuff.
Yeah. So. Right. Because so with breast cancer, I didn't realize that fat, It releases estrogen, right? So you don't want to stay. And unfortunately, I have been trying so hard to lose the menopause weight. Talk about being pissed that that meatball has to lose weight. Talk about a woman meatball's who's 39. Mm-hmm. Yeah, meatball's her obese bulldog at this point. But yeah, being told like after you're put into menopause at 39 that you have to then try to lose this weight that's been put on you, it's very, very difficult. So I do kind of like to think about my exercise not so much as I'm trying to lose this weight that may or may not budge, and more like it's for my brain, but it really is for your body.
Mm-hmm. Also, it can help with bone density because a lot of these drugs, and obviously you dealt with this, you know, especially women who lose estrogen, you're in menopause, your estrogen decreases, and then you took tamoxifen.
I took the other one.
Anastrozole.
Yeah, Anastrozole. It cancels out any extra estrogen you would have in your body.
Correct. So those drugs can, you know, they're depleting the estrogen even further, and then you start losing bone density, and you can get, you know, fractures and become osteoporotic, meaning just, you know, bones are breaking down, they're thinning out. So exercise, especially weight-bearing exercise, super important.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's actually a really good reminder for me because I've been skipping the old weights.
Strength training.
Skipping the old weights. And I actually asked for the Zometa. I don't think my bone, I don't want to brag, but I had extremely young bones.
Okay, you get
when
it.
When they scanned me, my bones were like 10 years younger than me. Okay.
You the bones of a 20-year-old?
I kind of did. And so I wasn't like quite yet at the point where they're like, oh, we need to give you this drug. But you know me, Paige, I'm very proactive. And any kind of extra little drug I can get, I want to put in my body. Yes. So, yeah, so I took that. I've been taking that Zometa, and that's something to ask, too. I have to say, you know, not everybody gets a doctor like Philomena McAndrew. Not everybody gets to go to a hospital like Cedars. Not everybody gets access to a Paige Woodward before now. And the thing is you have to know the questions to ask. You must be your own advocate. So,
yeah, I'm curious, yeah. Paige, like how you would... How do you encourage, because there's going to be a lot of deep divers who listen to this, some who are maybe, you know, going through cancer or will or know somebody who is or, you know, is the caretaker for someone. But how do you suggest, I think, especially for women who may not have spent a lifetime speaking up for themselves, advocating for themselves, like how do you suggest that patients do that?
So if patients come to me, like in my own business, like I ask them a million questions. I have them fill out like an 18-page questionnaire, and then we go through everything and I give them every tip, trick, you know, hack that I can possibly think of. And I'm like, go talk to your oncologist about this. So that's, you know, what I do, because I see patients like all over the country. I have a person I'm working with in Montana, and, you know, she's very intelligent and can advocate for herself, but she's not getting the type of care you did at Cedars.
Thank you. I get enraged when I have people reach out to me. And, you know, I'm not afraid to give out my personal email and send all my hacks. I have them all in like a document and I just forward them to deep divers who reach out to me. But I get so pissed when I'm like, well, are they doing this, this, and this? Have they given you? Nope. Never heard of it. Do you know how many women don't even know that freezing their hair is even an option?
Yeah.
A lot.
I hadn't heard of it before you did it, Jess.
Nope. And the only reason I heard of it was because Dr. McAndrew had a patient who donated these freezers, because you have to have these like sub-zero freezers and they're very expensive. And of course, this woman donated two of them. And so you can do cold caps without that freezer. You can, because you can do it with dry ice, but it's hard. And I just wanted, if you don't mind, I want to just take a minute. So you contact a company called Penguin Cold Caps. And these caps look like a rugby helmet, but it's made up of like, I don't know how many pieces, 14 pieces of interlocking ice packs. But these ice packs are they have to like scan them with a gun to like a little like laser gun to see how they're like deep freeze, right?
They have a pretty high rate of effectiveness. I think, you know, you still lose hair with them, like maybe about 30%.
Yes.
But yes, they're in a freezer. And yes, you can have them on dry ice. You are correct. So if your place where you are does not have a freezer, you bring them on dry ice. Penguin Cold Caps provides a whole list of cold cap therapists. You definitely want to hire one.
If you can. Yeah. And and I've had lots of my younger patients that I'm helping, like, you know, coach them. They will do a GoFundMe or ask a relative who, you know, might have the means, because it was not covered by insurance. And don't even get me started on that. But it's so important you hire the technician to help you do it. This is not something that your husband,
you don't just
your partner,
throw it on like a shower cap.
God, no. It's okay. So hard. It has to be very close to your scalp, right, Paige? Because how does it work?
So it basically freezes the hair follicles on your head and prevents the hair from falling out. And especially with the regimen you got, that causes like hair loss within, you know, one cycle of chemo if you didn't do the cold caps. And, you know, there's plenty of drugs, you know, within a couple weeks, you're losing your hair. And
all
there's
of
no
it.
Turning back.
All of it.
So
and in like 14 days, you will have no hair if you don't do this, which is also okay and totally okay.
Yeah.
And
totally
the hair
fine.
Is going to grow back just the same. So you don't have to worry. If you don't have the means to do it or you can't do it, that's okay too. There's lots of options for you to look great and feel great, including just owning that beautiful skull of yours. But cold caps work that they freeze the hair follicle. And then when the chemo is going after the fast dividing cells, right?
Correct.
The hair is one of those.
Yes. Yes, your hair follicles, you know, it's a very fast dividing cell and it will, you know, give constant growth of hair. So it will fall out if you don't freeze it. And like you said, that is totally fine. And so many people embrace that and embrace being, you know, bald
and beautiful.
Yeah. and rock it, and it's great. But if you do want to do the cold caps, you know, you need to have it all organized before you start the chemo, and you should know what drugs you're getting, because that depends on how long the cold caps sit on your head and how often you're changing them. I think you started probably about 30 minutes before any of the drugs dripped in. You had to put the cold cap on.
That's right. And then I had to stay like, what, 4 hours afterwards?
Yeah, 4 or 5 hours. And you sit there and they keep changing the cold cap.
Every 20 minutes, I think they have to change them. And how long? So my chemo was like, I would get there at like 8:30, and then they would do your, so they put your cold caps on and they do your labs. They send your blood out to, or to the, down to wherever they test it to make sure that your levels of your blood are good enough to withstand the next treatment. And so you're getting your head frozen while that's happening. And then how long would you say typically like the AC treatment was that I was sitting there?
So if you do it without the cold caps, AC is very, very short. So that day was probably like shorter than when you did the Taxol, which was back to back from the AC. So the Adriamycin gets pushed in over like 10 minutes. The Cytoxan runs over 30, but then you probably had to sit there, like an additional 4 to 5 hours after that.
Right.
We spent long days together.
We spent long days, but I will say this. I was so afraid, and I think this puts some people off even trying cold caps, that it would hurt. You would think that freezing your scalp
sounds
hurts.
Like it. Yeah.
Guess
sounds
what?
Deeply uncomfortable.
It's not that big a deal. And I'm not bullshitting you guys. First of all, you're going to get a lot of drought. You're going to get the Ativan, my friends.
Yeah.
When that Ativan goes in the IV, okay, June, I wish you would have an opportunity to experience that, because it hits you like a ton of bricks in a good way.
Yeah.
So you are feeling no pain. And then they put the cap on and it kind of burns a little, like a tiny little burning sensation. But very quickly, you get frozen. And then when it's frozen, you don't feel anything because it's frozen.
Because it's frozen. But that's interesting. I assumed it was just like a constant sensation of being cold.
No. And you have an electric blanket. I don't know when they invented electric blankets.
I don't know
why an electric blanket is safe to be sold, because you plug it in. But when I tell you, and that was Paige, you were like, you're going to go get yourself the electric blanket from Target. And Lennon got it for me, plugged it in. I was all toasty like a bug in a rug. And they pull it right up to my chin. And then I'd have the cold caps on. And the woman who administered them, Gail, is an angel on earth. After the drip is done, you fall asleep. Then you're taken. And I would say to the nurses, listen, don't wait for my Ativan to be out of my system. As soon as it's legally okay for you to give me more, give me more.
Yeah.
I don't want to be present for this. I don't want to be aware of
why.
This.
Yeah.
And actually, I had a lot more fun because I was like high as a kite, you know? And so then when everybody would sort of, we would have lunch after, you know, someone would bring lunch. I had lots of revolving friends who would come in, like, you know, Lennon would do the morning and my husband was there too, helping me. And then like, you know, Melissa Rausch would show up for lunch and then Lindsay Sloan would come in. And I'll never forget, you know, Lindsay would just sit at she would do the afternoon shift and just sit and read a magazine while I slept, because she liked to make sure I had someone there. But you just sleep. You sleep through the cold caps. You sleep. That's how not bad it is. Mm. You sleep. And because I lost a third of my hair, I have a lot of hair. So now I will say, if you have like very, very thin hair, this might not be for you. Because you have to know you're going to lose 30%. I did lose 30% of my hair. Now my hair then looked like a normal person's for a while. And then when it grew in, it was a little weird because half of it was a little bit curly, was a lot curly. So I looked a little bit like Dog the Bounty Hunter for a brief time. Okay. I did. And Lennon, I remember turning to me and saying, this might be untenable. Like, I don't know what we're doing here. Okay. But then after about a year, your hair does a natural cycle and it comes back usually how it was. That was my experience anyway. My hair came back thicker, which is even more insane.
Wow. Interesting.
Yeah, yeah. So that's the cold caps, and I can't say highly enough, I recommend them. But then Paige, did you tell me to freeze my extremities and or did I go rogue on that one?
No. Well, you went rogue maybe with the freezing the eyebrows and the eyelashes. Okay. But, you know, hey, whatever works.
And it worked. So I got these. So sorry, Paige, and then we're going to get to the freezing on my hands. But actually it was another cancer patient I had talked to. She was a beauty blogger. And she said, oh, wow. I guess got to pass this along. I've only done it on myself, so I can't tell you that it's 100% going to work. But if it works for your head, why wouldn't it work for your eyebrows and your eyelashes? So she said, here, I'm going to send you a link. And I'll post this on my Instagram as well, but there are these little eye gel packs that you get if you get your eyes done surgically, like if you get an eye lift, and you get them on Amazon. And then I would have Lennon put an ACE bandage around it. So now if you can imagine, I can't see anything, okay? I am a mummy. And people would gather around. We caused a spectacle, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, but it was great. Like
it was really
I mean, you entertained, you know, all of us. You know, you made things a little bit brighter when we're in that setting. I mean, come on.
It was a cast, you know, a cast of thousands that were around me. But so I would put that really tight because you want those ice packs to be really tight to your eyebrows. And I did not lose an eyebrow and I did not lose an eyelash.
That's awesome.
Also, by the way, kind of a cooling kind of spa experience. I didn't
especially
mind.
When you got Ativan, like ooh, coursing through your system. It sounds great.
And, you know, Lennon was feeding me she would bring snacks and she wouldn't tell me what they were going to be. They were a grab bag. Mm. And they were all the kind of snacks that I don't allow myself to eat in normal life, like a Teddy Graham. Or a cheese.
I haven't seen a Teddy Graham in 15 years.
Well, like Lennon grew up on a Teddy Graham. Okay. Yeah. She's from the South. Like she grew up on a Nilla wafer. So she would make these sandwiches. She'd put two like Cheez-Its, like Parmesan, Asiago Parmesan, like Cheez-It comes out with a new flavor like every week. And then she would put a Teddy Graham on the middle of it and feed me. Like a baby bird. I couldn't see what was coming to me.
Wow.
And I mean, when she did that, I remember going, ooh, umami, umami. Okay. But when you're chewing something and tasting something, oh, sometimes those little famous Amos mini
those
chocolate chips cookies.
Yeah, I know exactly
what
those are.
She would slip one of those and now
so
I would.
So it was a real surprise every time a new snack was. Yeah.
And I don't know if
and also interesting flavor combinations, so, like again, a Teddy Graham sandwich.
Yeah. Crazy. And one friend would be doing that. And then the other friend would be reading sometimes from like an old People magazine.
Even
so
better.
An old Us magazine. So I remember like I knew about Khloe Kardashian's breakup with Lamar. Okay. But when on Ativan, I didn't remember it. So they would read excerpts from her memoir to me. And I had so many opinions about what she'd been through and how she took him back. And sometimes they were wildly different perspectives. You know, sometimes I'm on Lamar's side, sometimes I'm on her side, you know, and I just was so angry about all of it, so loud.
And it's still going on. You know, the news just broke last night that Tristan cheated on her again.
Oh, why?
Yeah, so we're still in it.
We're still in it. But Paige, one of the reasons why I needed her to feed me all those Cheez-Its is talk about the hands and the feet and the freezing of it all.
Okay. Well, Helen, I want to back up for one sec.
Yeah.
In addition to vitamin A, no, not Chloe. you also got Benadryl in the IV. Do you remember that?
Yes. And that, by the way, nobody does that. So what was that? When are you able to do that? Or did I just ask for that all the time? Whenever it was possible, they'd hit me with a double, an Ativan and a Benadryl. Is that right, Paige?
Yes. So the Benadryl you definitely need for certain drugs we give. It helps prevent allergic reactions. And I mean, that just, you know, puts you right to sleep.
That's why I was sleeping. That's right. Yeah. Ativang has, you're having fun. That's a glass. That's like a whole bottle of wine at once. And then the Benadryl
will knock you out. Yeah.
And that's, so that was the night. Okay. So if you can, always ask for Benadryl. And they'll tell you if, is there any way you wouldn't be able to get it?
My dad was always on Benadryl when he was getting chemo.
We give it a lot.
A lot,
we use it with majority of the drugs.
Great.
Some people do have a reaction to it and get restless legs and are like jumping around and are not sleepy. Okay. So for them, not so great.
Yeah. Try it once. And if it doesn't work, but if it knocks you out and you can say to the nurse again, when it wears off, come and get me again. Hit me again.
Yes.
So then we're freezing. We're freezing the hands and the feet. And why is that?
To help with the potential for neuropathy, which when you got the Taxol, you didn't freeze your hands and feet with the AC.
Okay.
But then when you jumped to the Taxol that we did for 12 long weeks.
That's hard. Wow.
Yeah. Every time you put on the booties and the mitts, and we freeze the fingers and the feet to try and help prevent any issues with, the tingling, the numbness, the pain that you can get from that drug.
It can last forever. I mean, if you get neuropathy, it can last forever. And I didn't want that. Yeah. And then you also prescribed some supplement for that, didn't you?
I can tell you what I recommend. I can't remember exactly what you had, but B vitamins. Did we tell you to take B vitamins?
Yes.
Okay. So that can help with the neuropathy, and alpha-lipoic acid, which some people feel about that because it's an antioxidant and they're worried it's going to counteract the chemo, but it's safe to do, like 600 milligrams a day can help with the neuropathy. And then glutamine. Did you do the glutamine powder?
Yes, L-glutamine. Yes, powder. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Powder over the capsules.
Okay, powder over the capsules. And do you have brands that you like, that you trust?
Yes. So you want something really clean that doesn't have a lot of fillers. I'm not a big fan of going to Target or CVS and getting those supplements.
Okay.
But if you can get, Amazon does sell some good brands. And then I also have access to subscription called FullScript, and you can order like pharmaceutical grade supplements. But anyway, Now Food sells a great alpha-lipoic acid, Thorn, Pure Encapsulations. Those are three off the top of my head for you.
Okay, great. And then the freezing. So oftentimes I went ahead and I don't know, this was my own little hack. I ordered these Booties Elastigel, I believe was the company. And a gentleman in New Hampshire who I spoke to, an older gentleman, ran this company and then sent me these booties that I then froze in my own freezer. And I did that because I wanted to be really sure I was going there. Now, I'm not going to lie to you guys. Freezing your hands and feet feels horrible.
Ooh, Jess, yeah.
It feels horrible. And that's why Lennon had to feed me, because the only way I could stand it was to have her feed me every 30 seconds. And I would put them in for as long as I could, and then I'd take them out, and then I'd put them back in again. But I do not have any neuropathy. Not any. Okay? So it works. For me, it worked. Now, Paige, did I only have to do that while the drug was going in?
Yes. Only while the drug was infusing. And usually Taxol infuses over an hour.
It was the worst hour. Okay. And I had to do 12 of those hours. But you can do anything. If you pushed a baby out of you, you can do anything. If you got a really bad bikini wax, you can do this. Women are capable of amazing amounts of tolerating pain. I want everyone to know that. So I really highly, highly, highly recommend Elastigel, but they're basically used for sports therapy. If you don't do that, what do they usually offer like at the hospitals? Like wrapping your I remember oven mitts with ice.
You can do that. Those breakable ice packs.
I don't think those are cold enough, Paige,
they don't. They aren't. And they last for like 3 seconds.
So what are we doing?
Right. So, if that's your only option, but, then you have to keep rewrapping them, breaking new ice packs, rewrapping.
Mm-mm. So, let's get these booties. They weren't very expensive.
No, they're not. And they're great. And you just like slide them right on. And other thing, they can help with nail changes.
Okay. I know I've had you on for so long, Paige. Is there anything else I'm thinking about? Multivitamin? Do you like people to be taking a multivitamin while they're going through this? No,
not really.
Okay.
Probiotics are great. Magnesium is great, especially if you're having bowel issues. Mm-hmm. Vitamin D, super important. Mm. They've done studies that, you know, show vitamin D can help with cancer and preventing recurrence. But, you know, usually we're just so depleted because we do not get enough sunshine.
Mm. That's really interesting considering we live in Los Angeles, but still we're all should be taking a supplement.
Yes.
And it's good for your immune system, right? So even during these COVID times, that would be a good thing.
Yes, absolutely. And you can go get your vitamin D tested with, you know, your primary care doctor. I usually recommend around 5,000 IUs of vitamin D. And if you add it with K2, that can help absorb better.
What is K2?
K2 is actually vitamin K, and it helps you absorb the vitamin D much better into your system.
And Paige, just speak to just for a second. People hear functional medicine and sometimes they have like a reaction like, oh, is that not real science? What's that about?
Oh, I get that a lot. So functional medicine is looking at the root cause. So say you go to your doctor and you're like, my blood pressure's high. I have a headache, whatever. And your doctor's like, oh, I have 5 minutes to see you. Here's a blood pressure medicine. See you later. Mm-hmm. But they, you know, they just don't have the time. But what functional medicine does is back it up. Like, okay, why is your blood pressure high? Let's look at the root cause. Like, are you overweight? Are you eating too much salt in your diet? Is there, you know, some other thing that's going on that's causing you to have high blood pressure? And let's not, you know, maybe it's appropriate that you need that medicine. Blood pressure medication, but there's other things you can do to intervene.
So people sometimes think that it's like saying, oh, don't treat it with drugs or don't, or something like that. And that's obviously not at all what you're saying.
No, not at all. And this is my approach with cancer. Like, you definitely need the chemotherapy, the surgery, the radiation. I'm a big proponent of that, but there's a lot of ways to support it with integrative medicine. Like we've talked about, supplements, the acupuncture, some people do Reiki, the exercise, the nutrition. These are all so important.
Talk to us just for a second about nutrition, and then I'm going to let you go and live your life.
Well, thanks. Well, there's like a million different diets you could follow. People are always so confused. What do I do? Oh, I saw keto. Oh, paleo. Oh, I'm not supposed to do this. I should never touch a piece of sugar. My whole thing is, you know, let's focus on a whole foods diet. So try to eliminate most of the processed foods, the packaged foods, you know, but 80-20, you can't deprive yourself of a cookie or a cupcake for the mm-hmm. rest of your life. Like that's evil. You know,
it's not reasonable.
You gotta enjoy life.
And it's not necessary. It doesn't feel like it's necessary. And I remember I did go to a cancer specific dietitian, and she did scare the shit out of me. And it was a terrible meeting. And then I went home, and I'll never forget my mother being like, what are you eating? And I had just like poured a bunch of lentils into a bowl. And I was like, I'll be eating lentils for the next 10 years. And she was like, this isn't sustainable. Cause you know, I go big or I go home. And I went home on that one. Not sustainable. And also you feel like you're punishing yourself. I think there's a big thing with cancer where you feel like you gave it to yourself. What did I do? I think it's a really natural instinct for you to protect yourself, to go, okay, I must have done this to myself. So let me look around at all the things that I could have done wrong so I can take those things away so I won't get sick again. And the truth is, you didn't give this to yourself. Functional medicine isn't saying that you did something to give yourself cancer. Cancer is something that happens when genes go crazy. And a lot of it is genetic. A lot of it is genetic in ways we can't even test yet with mutations. When I went through the testing, I had a mutation of a gene that wasn't even listed yet as a cause of breast cancer. So you didn't do nothing, but we can make our bodies an even more inhospitable place for cancer to grow in the future. And that's something that you can do that's active, but I don't want to come at this like you've done something wrong or you need to punish yourself and live this like ascetic, you know, monk's lifestyle. You don't. And that's not what you're saying.
Correct. And then people get this idea that they can never have meat again, that they have to eat plant. Exactly. So there's many ways to approach this. And, you know, people get really scared. And I guess it's a way for them to control something when, you know, their world is going out of control with cancer. Mm-hmm. So there's many ways to deal with it and good ways to deal with it. And you don't have to take the really strict approach.
If you were to say one encouraging thing to somebody who's just gotten diagnosed and is scared out of their minds, what would you say?
We're going to get you through this and we're going to support you. And there's so many things we can do to help you. I know that they probably wouldn't believe that at the time because they're just so overwhelmed. But we really are here to hold your hand and get you through and guide you through this process.
You're not alone. No, you're not alone.
You're not alone.
Thank you, Paige, so much. You are my angel. I will love you for the rest of my life. I will sing your praises because you are a special angel that is walking amongst us mortals. I'm so glad I could share you with June and
Thank
with
you
the
so
deep
much,
divers.
Thank you, Paige, for taking such good care of my friend. I'm so grateful.
You're welcome. And it was a pleasure. And I had the best, you know, time. And not, I feel bad that you were going through cancer, but I had the best time with you. And I'm so thankful you're my friend 7 years later.
Paige, tell everyone again where they can find you.
At Functional Cancer Care on Instagram or www.functionalcancercare.com. And I'm also on Facebook, but more, follow me more on the gram.
Okay. All right. Thanks,
all about
Paige.
The gram. Thank you, Paige.
Thank you.
And deep divers, I want to make sure you all know about the Jane Club's Writer's Retreat, our backed by very popular demand. We have a 3-hour virtual creative writing retreat. You do not need any experience, previous experience as a writer. It's a really wonderful, supportive, creative experience. And this one is called Mining a Moment in Time, Writing Through the Senses, the Jane Club's 1-day virtual writer's retreat. It will be this Sunday, February 6th, from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Tickets are $50 and space is limited. But if you head to janeclub.com and click on special events, you might be able to get a ticket before they are all sold out.
Thank you, deep divers. We'll see you soon.
Let's go on the deep dive. Let's go on a deep dive. No secrets will we keep. It's June and Jessica going deep. How deep can you go? Oh, really deep. Let's go on a deep dive. Let's go diving deep.
The Deep Dive is produced by Jessica St. Clair, June Diane Raphael, and Earwolf. Our producer is Cody Fisher and sound engineer Jordan Duffy. You can listen to our ad-free and bonus episodes on Stitcher Premium. And for a free 1-month trial of Stitcher, use code DEEPDIVE. And remember, the best way to support this show is to rate and review.
And a huge thank you to Anne Geddes for her beautiful photo that she allowed us to use for our cover art. Please head over to AnneGeddesBaby.com and download her new app, which is a safe place you can upload and store all of your precious images of your children and share them with friends and family, plus much more.
We'll see you next time.